We want to welcome you to Refreshed with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refreshed is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio broadcast. This is Bob Arthurs coming to you. I hope that you had a wonderful Memorial Day. Once again, we want to say thank you to all of our servicemen and women and their families. And recently I found out that the Warrior Bible Project that we had been helping to fund in the development with study notes written by military personnel for military personnel and their family, that project has now been completed. We're very thankful for that. And so, unfortunately, I wasn't able to get the Bibles in. I just found out about it. And as soon as I found out, I literally ordered them the next day. And, we weren't able to get them in, to our church before Memorial Day in order to present them. But, we are going to be presenting each one of our veterans, with a Warrior's Bible. And if you know somebody who served in the military and is struggling reacclimating into society, or they have encountered some PTSD issues or anything like that, let us know, and we would be more than happy to bless them with a Bible. Here in the next coming days, we're going to give you our final tally on the Alternative Pregnancy Center that we have helped with the ultrasound. We're going to try and give you an update on that. And so we just want to let you know what's going on. Today I want to tell you about a couple of ministries. Again, neither one of these are associated with Merit Assembly of God per se, but they are tremendous opportunities that you have. One is the Advanced Christian Training School. Meets tonight from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And if you would like to be a part of that, we would love to have you come and meet Ted and Linda, and a number of the people who attend the class are from our church. So that meets from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. It's a free video Bible training school. And the number you can reach them at is 633-0432. I have a brochure in my hand from Shiloh Adventure Camp. It's a summer camp in 2015. They have 8 different weeks of camp that are scheduled. June 7th through the 12th is called Interstellar Galactathon. June 14th through 19th is the Shiloh Ball. June 21st through the 26th, Western Jamboree. June 28th through July 3rd, Interstellar Galactathon again. Week 5 is called Teen Week, ages 10 to 15. That's the Shiloh Ball again. Week 6 repeats, is July 12th to 17th, the Western Jamboree. And then it goes through the Interstellar Galactathon and the Shiloh Ball again, July 19th through the 24th and July the 26th through the 31st. And so, if you'd like more information on their summer camp, it is, a 501c3 not-for-profit organization. They provide a safe and fun and Christ-filled camping experience for boys and girls ages 8 to 15. All charitable contributions are tax deductible. If you know someone interested in this camp, you can go to www.shiloh.com, shilohadventure.com, or you can reach them at 321-452-3943. I'm a big believer in kids camps, summer camps. We have a number of kids from our church that are going to a camp this summer, and a number of reasons. One of the main reasons is because when kids go to camp, A lot of them give their heart to Jesus. They have an encounter with God. They meet new friends. They broaden their horizons. They see that they're not the only boys and girls out there that are Christians. And it also gives the parents a bit of a break. And so we encourage you to check out Shiloh Adventure Camp. Again, the number there, let me get that for you one more time, 321-452-3943. Ask for Laura. Tell them that you heard about them here on the Refresh Radio broadcast. So we're going to get back into the Word right now. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 is where we are at. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. So we're going to stop the reading right there. We started on this yesterday because this year, Memorial Day and Pentecost Sunday converged together. I preached a message on Sunday called Deflategate, and it's not everything that New England Patriots fans might think, but it the basic premise was with the Deflategate was that somebody let air out of footballs so that they could control it better. And a lot of people want to do the same thing with church. Listen, here's my take on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is commissioned with the task of guiding the believers into all truth. So I need the Holy Spirit in operation in my life so that I can have a greater encounter with the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of God's word. I need him to guide me. The heart is deceitfully wicked above all else. Who can know it? My heart can deceive me. My mind can play tricks on me and rationalize me into compromising the word of God. But not so with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's never going to lead you astray. The Holy Spirit is going to lead you to a more intimate and powerful relationship with Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit is also commissioned with the task of convicting people of their sins, of bringing to them an awareness that there is an issue in their life, there's a heart issue in their life that is not in agreement with what God wants, and God loves them so much that he wants to extend an offer to them that he can change their heart. And so I don't need to let the air out of the church. I don't need to let the Holy Spirit out of the church. I need the Holy Spirit functioning in our church, functioning not just in the pastor, but in the men and the women who attend our services, because in doing so, when the Holy Spirit is ministering in the hearts of believers, he is going to be also working in the hearts of unbelievers to draw them to Jesus. And so we need the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but when I am playing a game, when I'm maybe if I were in a combat situation, I would want to use every asset that is available to me. And the Holy Spirit is given by God to empower us to be witnesses. So with the reality of over 7 billion people on planet Earth, all of which Jesus bore their sins to the cross, and he's just waiting for them to accept his offer of forgiveness, why would I want to limit the arsenal of spiritual power that God has given to us allowing the devil to use every deception, demonic spirit, trap of the enemy, using every temptation. Why would I want the devil to be able to utilize everything that's available to him, and I would not want to utilize the power of the Holy Spirit that is available to us? I don't want to deflate the church just so I can control it better. Listen, the church is in much better hands, in God's hands, than it is in your hands or it's in my hands. He knows what people need, so he can have the Holy Spirit guide us into the truth of his word to minister to specific needs that people have when they come to church on Sunday morning. We need the Holy Spirit. And I look here at this. This was a soldier. I look at him as a centurion. He didn't get that, more than likely because it was a political position. He got there because he understood authority. He understood the enemy. He understood how to motivate men. He understood all of that. And look at what it says in verse number 4. And when he observed him, the angel, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And I tell you that when a soldier is intimidated by the enemy that he sees in front of him, that whatever he is beholding is a awesome visual presentation, shall we say. In other words, I don't believe he was seeing this little cherub, you know, chubby-cheeked, baby-faced cherub there, and he was intimidated by that. I believe that angels of God, messengers who are behold the Father's face, who stand continually before his throne and receive a message and go and dispatch that message, I believe that they are intimidating force. You look at angelic encounters that people have in the Word of God, and almost every one of those cases, the angel has to say, "It's okay, don't be afraid. It's okay, don't be afraid." Isn't it awesome to know that God is for us and not against us? So we have been talking right now about Cornelius' reputation before God. We talked a little bit on yesterday's program how he was a devout man, how he feared God with all his household, and it says who gave alms generously to the people. Who gave alms generously to the people. A lot of times you will hear us talk about the amount of blessing that comes in that enables us to give to needs in the community, like the ultrasound or like the Save Ukraine Now project. And that's just a portion of our missions giving. I was at our district council here a week ago, went to the World Missions Luncheon, and I heard testimonies about a project that we had participated in several years ago. It was ministering to a group of people that had not had a Christian witness, a church, in over 500 years. They were not a Christian community. They lived in the former Soviet Union. There was some Orthodox buildings that were there, but these people had been displaced and they had returned home. And there was a door that opened, and our leadership said, "Now is the opportunity that we have to reach these people with the love of Jesus." And so there were missionaries that went. They impacted the community. They were working hard, but they weren't really seeing many results. And I will tell you this, a lot of times we get so focused on the massive numbers that sometimes we can miss out on the individual miracles that God does, that he's going to utilize to do great things. I was talking to a person the other day, didn't give their heart to Jesus until they were 28 years old. They're just They're about my age, a little bit older, and God is using them to transform a nation right now. They weren't raised Christian. They gave their heart to Jesus, fell in love with Jesus, got involved in the ministry, and went from an administrative calling and an administrative position into full-time missions work. And let me tell you, are they a powerful, powerful servant of God? So we like to partner with those. So this people group that we reached out to, and I couldn't tell you exactly how many years ago it was, but the missionary that was talking told a story. It was so miraculous is the only word that I can use. It was such an amazing testimony that came out that they actually sent another missionary in just to verify the story. And so if I can, let me just share with you what happened. There was a lady, not a Christian, never even heard about Jesus. And she was a mother of a young child. She was married, went into the hospital, very, very sick. And while she was in the hospital, she died. The doctors tried everything they could to do to save her, and they were unable to. She died. And so the husband went out and started trying to raise the funds for the funeral expenses. And while he was away, and the doctors had abandoned the room, this lady had an encounter with Jesus Christ, who came into her room and said, "You are healed. You can now go home." And with no one else in the room, she awakened. Remember, they had declared her dead to the point that everybody's just abandoned her. And the husband has gone out to raise the funeral expenses. While they were out, this lady wakes up and begins to pull. And I'm not going to go into graphic detail. The missionary told all of the things that she began to pull out of her body without anesthetic. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, that just makes me shiver to think of how painful that could have been. And so finally they come in there, and she had disconnected everything except for one drain tube that was going out. And they said, what's going on? And she said, "Well, the doctor came in and told me that I was well and that I could go home." And so they began to ask her to describe the doctor, and she said, "It was the doctor with the long hair and the white robe." And they said, "But there is no doctor here that has long hair or wears a white robe." And as this happened to be an Orthodox hospital, and as they were walking out, she saw an iconic figure of Jesus, representing Jesus, and she said, that's the doctor who came in and told me that I was well." And so they were having this great big celebration, and this lady went home and began to look at the situation. She had a 5-year-old child who had never walked, had been paralyzed from birth, and she began to pray and say, "God, if you could heal me and raise me up from the dead, I know that you can raise my son up and you can give him the ability to walk." And so they had been praying, they went to bed, and all of a sudden the husband wakes up. Now, can you imagine what he had gone through? He had been told his wife was dead, goes out to raise money, and comes back, and there she is, and now she's back home, she's alive and functioning. And in the middle of the night, he hears someone walking around in their apartment, and he gets up to find their 5-year-old, who had never walked, was up now walking. And I want you to know that that's the type of miracles that God is still doing around the globe. Here is the good news. The good news is, where there was no church before, now there are 7 churches inside of a community that up until less than a decade ago, there were no known believers in that ethnic group. And now God is moving powerfully by his Spirit and bringing people. There are going to be people gathered around the throne worshiping and praising Jesus Christ because of offerings that were taken several years ago. Listen, whenever you give resources to missions, whenever you give resources at church, if they're taking up a special offering, whenever you give resources to help purchase an ultrasound that is going to save a baby's life, I want you to know that God takes notice. This testimony that he gave alms generously to the people, that wasn't something that Cornelius told them. That was something that God had taken notice of. And it's the reason that I can say that is in verse number 4, it says, so he said to him, the angel said to Cornelius, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. What if I told you that when the offering plate goes around on Sunday morning, that it wasn't just a financial transaction that was taking place, but it was something that got God's attention, that God was taking notice. And every time you honored him with the tithe, he took notice. And every time your heart was moved with compassion to meet a need, God took notice. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to forget what that person has done. In fact, I'm going to move heaven and earth on their behalf. Cornelius, I don't know how long he had had the reputation that he had that is mentioned here in Acts chapter 10. I don't know how long it was, but I do know this, that he had been so consistent and so faithful that God moved heaven to send an angel. And he says, Cornelius, I'm getting ready to alter you for the better. I've taken notice of you. You are the apple of my eye. I am going to bless you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I want you to know that God's no respecter of persons. It is true that we are saved by grace. We do not work to earn our salvation. That is not why we work. But the Bible says that there were good works created from before the foundation of the world for you to do and for me to do. Before I ever had this thought of going on or coming back onto the radio, God prepared it before I was even born. He created the technology so that it would be here, the studio that is here. He created that, and he doesn't just do that for preachers or Sunday school teachers or board members. He does that for you as well. Every time your heart is moved with compassion, every time you give by faith, God is moved in heaven. God is moved in heaven. And I want you to know, it is not about the money. Listen, when I came to Merit Assembly of God, someone said there is no money there. They were right. There wasn't a dollar. There wasn't a dime. It was as broke, you know. Evie Hill, he's a minister who went to be with the Lord quite some time ago. He said, listen, it you may be so broke that you don't have two pennies to rub together, but listen, I've been so broke I didn't have two food stamps to rub together. And when they said that, I my response was quite simply, that's okay. God has enough resources. God has enough resources. And so we are thankful. We're not here to get rich. We're not here to for our own self. We are here to promote the kingdom of God. We want people saved in Brevard County. We want the Spirit of the Living God moving in Brevard County. And we want the Spirit of the Living God bringing people and building in the kingdom all around the globe. And so that's what we do. Listen, if you have that mindset, it puts an entirely different spin on whenever the offering plate comes by. It's like God is going to save souls as a result of this. I made a phone call. I didn't even wait till I got back into the office. I started doing some research and trying to find phone numbers because I wanted to get these Warriors Bibles into the hands of military men and women as quickly as possible, because there's way too many of them committing suicide. There's way too many of them coming back to broken homes. There are way too many of them not being able to acclimate and find a job and get back into the workforce. way too many of them who are being cast aside, and too many homeless veterans and stuff like that. So we gave to that project because we want them to be saved. let me close. I'm looking at the clock. We got a couple of minutes here left. I had said that I would give you an update on myself. We didn't get very far in the study today, so I'm just going to make a note of it there, and we'll get to it tomorrow. But I told you I would bring you an update on where I was physically, and so I'm going to do that. February the 1st was Sunday morning. I woke up that morning with a detached retina. I didn't know it. I thought it was something else. Didn't even know what a detached retina was. February the 6th, they reattached the retina, which was several days earlier than what they thought they were going to be able to do. And as we started off on this journey, things were progressing rapidly and wonderfully. And we have just been believing God. That night that I was first diagnosed, it was a Tuesday night, and I believe that God gave me a word that said, "You will see clearly out of this eye again." That's what I've been believing ever since. And I told you on a program not too long ago that I'd had my first bout with doubt. It didn't last very long. It just it basically lasted this long. You know, God, I closed my good eye, I looked at it with the bad eye, and I said, "God, I just don't know if this eye is ever going to see clearly again." And just as soon as I finished that, I said, "Wait a minute, that's not the word that God gave me." So I went to the doctor here recently. Back, it was my three-month follow-up, February to March, April, May, a little over 3 months. And the doctor said there hadn't been much improvement, and it was unreasonable to expect that I would be able to see as clearly out of it as I did before. And, you know, but she said everything is reattached, everything is going, but didn't give me a lot of hope as far as being able to see clearly out of that eye. And I want you to know, I'm still believing that I'm going to see clearly out of my left eye. So if you would continue to pray, I would greatly appreciate it. 30 minutes after that, I was told that I have a 1.25-inch long tear in my a tendon in my right shoulder. And so I was like, man, this afternoon filled with doctor's appointments, not going out as well as I'd like. So do be praying for us. We're believing for a miracle. I believe in a miracle working God, not just so that my life is easier, not just so my life is more convenient and more comfortable, but I'm believing for a miracle so I can share a testimony of how good God is, and someone will give their heart to Jesus. God bless you. We thank you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.